I'm going to put you on the spot. Not really, because you don't have to answer this, but I was just thinking about it, because some of you have emailed me a little bit about, like, from last week, things that you've been doing this week, so I was just wondering if anybody would like to share something from this week after we talked about, you know, private worship, reading a psalm a day, or Acts, or any of those things. Did you try any of those things this week that you want to share that it worked, or it was confusing, or any questions or follow-ups? If not, like, I'm not really putting you on the spot, so you don't have to share anything, but...
I wanted to share last week that one other suggestion for getting ready for church in the morning is something that I do is I listen to Charles Stanley on TV before I come here.
Yep.
It's, you know, you hear the worship, there's a worship song, you hear a good message. Of course, he's one of my favorites, so I don't know if he's not one of your favorites, it might not work for you, but... it really helps get me into a worshipful mindset and for hearing the word. And so from 7 until 8 or from 7 to 7:30, however long a person might have available. And another thing I do Saturday night is oftentimes turn on the radio, WBCY 107.7, and listen to some of the worship songs that they play on there, starting around 7:30 or so when I'm driving home from my parents. Usually have it on and start, you know, hearing some old hymns and things like that. And
yeah.
So
great.
Once in a while, I go on Planning Center and find out the songs we're gonna sing.
Oh yeah.
The next day.
When somebody does that.
I know somebody else does that.
And then I listen to them and oh cool, I'm gonna sing this and
yep.
You know, things like that. I know not everybody has access to that, but quite a few people in the music ministry do. And
yep.
You know, we're not immune to needing to get ready for worship.
Yep.
In our hearts and souls. So
right. Yeah.
I just wanted to share those suggestions.
Those are great.
I know it can be chaotic getting ready in the morning, you know, with families and everything, but even if you had something on in the background, you know, Charles Stanley or some worship music or something to help.
And the thing that we all have is the car ride here, right? I mean, even if things are crazy, crazy, crazy at home, and like people are like, I've got six kids at home, there's no way we could do that at home, but everybody has the car ride here
car
that you
ride
can
here,
listen to.
Caleb, I hear other people have Caleb on their radio. When I'm coming, driving in the parking lot, I can hear other people's cars.
Oh.
have Caleb on.
Yep.
Or the WBCY radio, something they have some church programs on there too, so whatever works for you, just to help you be more mindful of we're coming here, you know?
Yeah, she mentioned Planning Center, and Planning Center is what we have, it's an online thing, and we, all of the services are planned on Planning Center, and so that's how I send out requests to people that are going to be singing, they confirm or decline, and then they have access to all of the songs and the order of service, and they can click and see the music on their computer or tablet or listen to a video or the audio of it. So that's what she's talking about. I'll show you a little bit more of that next week. But good. Anybody else have something to share?
Well, since I'm one that sent you an email, I sent Brennan an email, and after he said we should look for things to praise God for who he is and what he does, I was reading Psalms. Years ago, someone suggested a plan for reading Psalms is like, what is today, the 27th? Read Psalm 27, 57, 87, 117, and 137, or 47. 30 every
year. Yep, every 30.
And so the 21st, I read in Psalm 21, 13, it said, "Be exalted, O Lord, in your strength. We will sing and praise your power." Mm-hmm. So praising him for power. Then I get to Psalm 81, and it said, "Sing aloud to God our strength." Mm-hmm. And I realized that he's not only strong and powerful, but he's our strength. Mm-hmm. So I started to look for those things.
Yeah.
Yeah. a good way to read through.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, mine was today's Psalm, I think it was 59. And even, you know, Psalm 58 and 59 are not happy psalms at all. Let's see, Psalm 59 is an imprecatory psalm. And even in that, David says, verse 9, he identifies God as his stronghold. And then 10, he says, my God and his loving kindness will meet me. So not only something that he has done, but something that he will do, a promise. And then his response, you know, he does this imprecatory psalm and gives very clearly the reason for the imprecatory psalm, which is a little side note, but important. Verse 13, you know, why are these imprecatory psalms? It's not just so that David has an easier life, but he says, verse 13, destroy them in wrath, destroy them that they may be no more. Again, not just so my life is happy, but he says, that men may know that God rules in Jacob to the ends of the earth. That's the reason for the prayer for something. And then he says his response to who God is, what he will do. But as for me, verse 16, I shall sing of your strength. Yes, I shall joyfully sing of your loving kindness in the morning. For you have been my stronghold and a refuge in the day of my distress. So, encouraging. Anything else anyone wants to share?
No. I don't do it that much in the morning. I usually have my time in the morning, and I don't want to wake anybody up. So but I do now and then. But where it's really been, I've been noticing it is during the day. When I'm traveling in the car, and I have the whole thing about, you know, bringing glory to God and looking at all the different things about creation and taking the scriptures that come up. And when Saul and I travel together, we like to sing a lot. We like to sing. My wife and the other son, they want to talk. Mm-hmm. Saul and I, we like to sing. Sometimes I'll preach a little bit. What we're singing is pretty good.
Good. Good. That's great.
Good. Well, we had our trip up to Wisconsin Dells this Monday because we had to take Jared back to the doctor. And I will briefly update us. We got his blood work back. His liver enzyme numbers are moving up. Down. They've been too high. They are starting to come down. They're still outside the range of good, but that they are coming down, this is wonderful.
Wait, are these the tests that you're supposed to get next Tuesday?
Yeah, they came back yesterday.
Oh.
They had the wrong Tuesday in mind.
Okay, good.
I'm well, really glad because I didn't want to wait a whole nother week. Yeah. But the progress is good. They're changing his drug protocol, his antibiotics, because the Lyme disease has adapted to the ones he's currently taking, which is kind of how it goes. So, good news. He's making progress. It's still going to take us a while. He starts next round February 8th. So it'll be 2 months of whatever else. But 2.5 hours up, 2.5 hours back, there's a lot of music time that can happen in a car. Mm-hmm. And Jared brings his iPhone that has all of it downloaded from iTunes. And we just go, I can't even tell you how many different genres of music we go through.
Yep.
But it's keeping us focused as we're driving. It's keeping us focused as we're not sure how he's going to do. And then it's afterwards, we're happy and rejoicing that things are where they're at, and all of it focused on the goodness of God and who he is and what he's done for us. And it was a good day. I was exhausted, but it was a good day.
That's great. Good. Anybody else want to share anything? All right. Well, we're going to start by singing the two songs we did not get to sing last week, Praise the Lord the Almighty, and Praise the Lord, my two great songs to start with. Do you still have your music from last week?
Yes.
Does anybody need, I've got extra words if you need one.
It's a little share one.
Okay. I got it. Anybody else need a copy? And again, as the Praise to the Lord repeats, think about specific things that you can praise the Lord for. Okay.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise Him, for He is thy help and salvation. All ye who hear, now to His temple draw near. Join me in glad gently sustained. Hast thou not seen how all thy longings have been granted in what He ordained? Praise to the Lord who doth prosper thy work and defend thee. Sure
tonight, and we recognize that everything that we are, everything that we have, has been created and purposed for this, for the praise of your glory. And so God, I pray that even as we talk through this chapter, we do some other things this evening, I pray that we would be all about and all for and all to the praise of your glory. And God, we thank you that we have much to praise you for, and that we get to join with all of creation in praising you. We recognize this to be a gift of your grace, not anything that we have come to a knowledge of on our own, but that you have opened our eyes to see the truth of the gospel. So I just thank you for each one here tonight, and just pray that you would bless this time. Make much of yourself in our hearts and in our minds tonight, we pray in the name of Christ. Amen. Amen. So we'll talk a little bit more. Well, before you take this away, let's talk about it. Talk to me about Praise the Lord the Almighty. Why is this a good song for corporate worship? That's a very open-ended question and purposely so.
Because it focuses solely on God and who is.
Yep. Focuses solely. There's no question, even after the first line, there's no question about who we're talking about, right? Good.
I like the line, join me in glad adoration.
Right, and that's such an important line, because I think we talked about this last week. If not, we'll talk a little bit more about it tonight. But that's why we talked last week specifically about the importance of private worship, and then now we're talking about corporate worship rather than the other way around, because our private worship is what fuels our coming together. So it's not that this happens, but this isn't primarily the purpose. When we come together, we're encouraged to go live out our private lives of worship. But even more so, the corporate worship gathering is the gathering of God's people who have experienced him throughout the week. And this is just us coming together to say, wow, this is our God. So yes, we're encouraged then to continue that the next week. But we come as individuals. So praise the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Oh, my soul. So we start off this introspectively and singularly, oh my soul, praise him, for he is the help and salvation. And then we're saying to one another, all ye who hear, now to his temple draw near, join me in glad adoration. That's why, that's when it ceases being just me to being us. And so that's a great call for us to sing to one another in corporate worship. Good. And as we progress throughout the song, then the last verse is what? Praise to the Lord. Oh, let all that is in me adore him. All that have life and breath come now with praises before him. So it's not just going from me to us, but to everything, right? All that have life and breath come now with praises before him.
I've always thought what this song does so cleverly is you start out as very general, the King of creation. It's very, you know, temple, John, adoring, glad adoration. It's very outward focusing and kind of, you know, just God and his majesty. And then I love this line, hast thou not seen how all thy longings have been granted and what he ordaineth? Then it's speaking to you specifically and say, remember. Now you've seen God's glory. Remember what he's done. Then you move forward. Praise the Lord who doth prosper thy work and defend thee. Currently he's doing this. And in the future, surely his goodness and mercy here daily attend thee. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do. And then also you have kind of like a future reference in this last verse. So you start out with something very expansive, then it goes personal, calling you to remembrance, and then reminding you what he's doing right now, and then telling you what he's going to do in the future. It's just very well structured.
Yeah, that's the whole, that verse right there is the whole purpose of corporate worship in a nutshell, right? Because we don't, in our own minds, we're bad at remembering. And so this is just a call to remember, to ponder anew what the Almighty can do, what he has done. I love that line, surely his goodness and mercy here daily attend thee. That's such a, that struck me afresh when we were just singing it now. Good, anything else?
Well, this is going to sound silly, but melodically it's just fun to sing.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And because of that, we know the words.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things that we probably all do and catch ourselves doing is singing some of the words sometimes, or just humming the tune, but the words come to our minds.
Yep.
That is huge.
Yeah.
Because someday, this may not be free.
Right.
And a lot of our songs are totally scriptured, so that someday we're going to have that and be able to remember it in our minds and in our hearts, even if this isn't available.
Yeah, he talked about that in the book, even the Alzheimer's patient. I've seen that firsthand. My very first church, This is back when we were using soundtracks. Do you remember soundtracks? And I was scheduled to sing that morning, and this is a small country church back in West Tennessee. And I was scheduled to sing that morning, and something malfunctioned with the... I'm not going to go so far as to say it was a tape player. It might have been. I can't remember. But whatever it was, tape or CD player, it didn't work. And so then I was just left, okay, what am I going to do? Well, then I just sang My Jesus, I Love Thee a cappella. Well, not knowing, then later that afternoon, the pastor asked me to go to a nursing home. No, it was the hospital. It was actually a hospital. And there was a lady there who was older and unconscious for a long time. I don't know how long it was, but and not communicative at all with people. And before we left, he said, hey, why don't you sing My Jesus, I Love Thee that you sang this morning? And so I was like, okay, sure. You know, I'm like 18 or whatever at the time. And so I did, and the lady starts moving her mouth to the words as I was singing it. Just because that was something that she knew. I mean, she didn't open her eyes. We didn't communicate other than that, but she was just moving. It was really a powerful, powerful moment. So, good. Anything else with this song? How about Come Praise and Glorify? Why is this a good song for corporate worship?
Talks about what he's done in him. Our sins are washed away, redeemed through sacrifice, and made known to us the mystery of his will.
Good.
This has big Trinity.
What's that?
Big Trinity effect in it.
Yes, right. So the first verse is Father, second verse is Son, third verse is Spirit. Very intentional there.
Yeah. It's both singing, like, as you were saying, like, kind of corporately, like, come, praise, all of us all do this together, but then it's also to God, to the praise of your glory.
Right. So the verses are to one another. They're horizontal in nature. And then the chorus is vertical. So now that we've all talked to each other, now let's sing to the praise of your glory, to the praise of mercy and grace.
And the second verse is the gospel.
Yep.
So anybody who may not know the gospel,
you're
singing that.
Exactly. As we'll talk next week, I'm going to give you the
what do I call them?
Not essentials. The essentials of worship, corporate worship, like things that we need to have every time that we meet, and the gospel is one of those things. Non-negotiables, that's what it is.
Non-negotiables.
I was like, I know it's not non-essentials, but it's not something.
It's non-negotiables.
Non-negotiables, there we go. Anything else about this song? It's pretty much straight up scripture, right? That's Ephesians 1 in summary here. And so, like you said, if we don't have our Bible in hand, we can tell you what Ephesians 1 says by singing this song. So, good. All right. Well, let us talk now about this chapter. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
This has nothing to do with the song, but every time your son hears your voice, he's paid attention. He knows.
He's heard it a couple times. Yeah. He's like, Dad, shut up already. So both of these had to do with singing, right? As I was plugging the class, I said it's not all music, but this week it is. So hopefully more than that. But chapter 6, True Worshippers Sing, Worship and Music. First of all, any just general takeaways that you had from the class before we get into the notes? Or any takeaways you had from the reading? Maybe?
There was one I had, and I think there was something in here where he was talking about singing, how the priest sang. You remember where that was?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, here it is on page 99. Top of page 99.
Mm-hmm.
Where David assigns Levite musicians to sing God's praises day and night at the temple.
Yep.
And the reason that struck me is because at our old church, once in a while, they would do like 24 hours of prayer. Mm-hmm. And people would sign up.
Yeah.
I thought, wow, wouldn't that be a neat idea to do the same thing, but people sign up to sing 24 hours.
Yeah.
Kind of like what David did.
Yeah, yeah. That would be really cool.
Praise God.
I'm all for that. How many hours can we sign up for?
I know, right? That would be really neat.
On page 102, he says, these provide a starting point for understanding more clearly why God wants us to sing, and he has several different things. Singing encourages and expresses the Spirit's work in our hearts. Singing helps us remember God's word. Singing helps express and engage our emotions. Mm-hmm. Singing encourages physical expressiveness, and singing helps us express our unity with the church.
Yeah.
So I thought those were all very good.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, we'll talk through each of those as we go through this. But yeah, that's a really helpful summary that he gave us of all of these things.
I'm not going to be here next week, so I got to jump ahead.
Okay.
chapter 9, the anticipation. Really hit me in page 154 in particular. I won't go into this. I don't want to ruin next week. But
it's okay.
I've been meditating on the second and third paragraphs on 154 more than chapters 6 and 7.
Uh-huh.
I actually thought, being a singer, that I'd love these two chapters, but it was just the last chapter that got me.
Yeah, good, good. All right, well, let's talk through this a little bit, filling in our quotes here. And again, feel free to jump in if you've got a thought or comment you'd like to add. We'll go through it somewhat quickly because we have a little something else to do, too. But first quote there, singing is not an option for the Christian. Let's just get it out there, right? Singing is not an option for the Christian. No one is excused, he says. I'm sure you can already think of two or three people that are in your life or that you know that would argue with this, but singing is not an option for the Christian. No one's an excuse. He says vocal skill is not a criterion. So it's not just for the people that can sing well or have training, any of that stuff. He says the critical question, I loved this. I thought this was very helpful. The critical question is not, do I have a voice? In other words, am I good at singing? Is this something I enjoy? Do people enjoy hearing me? But do I have a song? Do I have a song? The critical question is not, do I have a voice, but do I have a song? And then he follows that up with this beautiful paragraph that we're going to include in our corporate worship this Sunday. I love this. This is just it in a nutshell, corporate worship. He says, if you no longer have to fear eternal separation from God, if death is merely the doorway to unspeakable joy, if sin has been conquered, hell is overcome, and Jesus has saved you to enjoy unending pleasures at God's right hand, then you have a song to sing. And it's a song that no trial, no disease, no struggle, no persecution, no power on earth or in hell can stop.
Amen.
Isn't that awesome? I love that.
That's huge.
Did he write that, or did I quote from somebody else?
I think that was him.
That's all him. He would have footnoted it.
Yep, that one is him.
Yeah. I think that's why it's always bothered me when someone has said, "Oh, I just don't think singing's important." I want to say, how can you say that?
Yeah.
When the song that we have to sing, regardless of whether it's, you know, metered or monotone or melodically beautiful, the song we have is the gospel message, regardless.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's not just a metaphor. He says, if we sing without understanding God's purpose, and this is would be those people that you just talked about, if we sing without understanding God's purpose for it, we won't be motivated to sing. And then he gives us a couple of reasons. He says, one reason we sing is that God tells us to. That should be enough, right? That should be enough motivation. Hopefully, as Hudson gets older and I tell him to do something, that will be enough motivation. But probably won't be. You with older kids, no. So then he says another reason singing plays a prominent role in Scripture is that all three persons of the Trinity, sorry, that mic's not very big, but I couldn't go over the line. Three persons of the Trinity are connected with song. And then he goes into detail on page 101 about each of the roles of the Trinity and how Scripture identifies them with song. And he ends that little section with, God wants us to sing because he sings. And that's something I think we forget, too. I thought that little paragraph about how the Trinity is involved in singing was very helpful. And then he goes into what does singing do? So kind of further motivation, and these are the things that Barb was pointing out to us. So let's just go through them one by one here for a minute. First thing is singing encourages and expresses the Spirit's work in our hearts. Singing encourages and expresses the Spirit's work in our hearts. It's not that the Holy Spirit can't work in our hearts without music, but that's just one of the ways that he chooses to. And it's also part, you know, when we do that, when we sing, then we think about these lyrics. Like Ashley was pointing out with Grace of the Lord the Almighty, the Spirit works through us even singing to ourselves as we hear it. So there's part of corporate worship is singing to God, part of corporate worship is singing to one another, and part of it's just singing to our own self to remind ourselves of these truths. The next thing he says is singing helps us remember God's word. Singing helps us remember God's word. And again, that's what Diane was saying earlier. That's why we sing songs that come praise and glorify, so that we remember the truths of Ephesians 1. One of the beautiful things I love is, one of the things I've been thinking a lot about this last year, has been the seal. The Spirit seals us, and I love that imagery in Ephesians 1. And now, this tells us the importance of doing singing, you know, to help us remember God's word, but also then, as to me, as a worship leader, as one who selects, that's important for me to think about as I pick out songs, and hopefully I'm picking out songs, or I should be picking out songs that are filled with Scripture. Next thing he says is singing helps us teach and be taught. Singing helps us teach and be taught. We'll talk about this a little bit too. So, the way you sing something, have you ever thought of this? The way that you sing something, even if you're not on the platform, the way you sing something, it could be something that's encouraging or something you specifically may teach the person that's standing next to you in corporate worship something about God, just in the way your countenance or the way that you sing, or just even them hearing it from you could be something that teaches them. That's an important thing for us to remember. And then also to have our ears on to listen to that so that we are taught. Singing helps us be taught. He says there's a vertical as well as a horizontal focus to our singing. Vertical meaning to God, and horizontal meaning to each other. And this is so true. I love this next line. He says, instruction is taking place right alongside praise. Sometimes we like to compartmentalize things too much, and we forget that as we're praising God, that's also instructing to others. That's why I referenced that quote from Carson's book on worship about true worship is naturally evangelistic. You know, people see, even if they don't understand everything, they see genuine worship taking place, and that is instructing them. And then whenever I have something indented on the notes, that means it's underneath this heading. So underneath the teach and taught, he develops this a little bit more, and I thought it was important. He said, singing is meant to be an educational event. So what does that tell me? That's not, you know, people sometimes view music as just like the inspiration or getting you motivated to hear a message. And there's an element of that, but there is...